Is it okay if I hold this? Oh, it's so good to be back. We missed you guys. Some of you might not even know who we are because you've come since we've been away. But we had three very, I don't know how to describe it, Barry, but intense months of ministry in America. We left the first part of May and we got back the end of July. We drove, it was 6,500 miles, and I calculated it, that's 10,500 kilometers. So, I mean, you know, we're getting up there in age, but the Lord strengthened us for the journey. And this morning, the word the Lord's given me today to share, I've titled it, Strength for the Journey. But I want to tell you, in our travels, because we were California up and down, and then moving east, landing in Missouri was the furthest east, which really isn't East Coast, but furthest. We did 9 states, we'll put it that way. 9 states in America where we ministered, and we had many flights, but it was mostly driving. And my declaration and my psalm from the Lord, it was when we were leaving Ireland, he gave this to me. And every day when we got in that car, and he hauled the suitcases, bless him. He really did a good job because he did the majority of the driving and he hauled all the suitcases. But my declaration every day was Psalm 121. And we got in the car and I said, thank you, Lord, that you're going before us. Thank you, Lord, that you never slumber nor sleep. Thank you, Lord, that you're watching over us. Thank you, Lord, that you're our shade at our right hand. Let me just give you a note. We took it to ourselves. Don't go to Arizona in the middle of summer in America. It was 40 plus, you know, 45 degrees. So he protected us from the sun by day and the moon by night. And I said that every single day. The sun will not harm you by day. The moon will not harm you by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. And he did. We had tornado warnings. We had flash flood warnings. We had car issues, and the Lord protected us from it all. And the Lord's word promises, verse 8, Psalm 121, the Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forever. Amen. And I just want to thank Maranatha, because I believe it was your prayers and standing with us that the Lord answered, keeping us safe and keeping us strengthened for the journey. So this morning, we're going to look at somebody in the Old Testament, Elijah. How many of you know Elijah, the prophet? Some of you do. I'm going to introduce you to just a little snippet of his life because the Lord has spoken to me through him, watching how God strengthened him for his journey, even when he went off track. Do we ever go off track? I know I go off track from time to time and need to be reminded. So first, we're going to read out of 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. And I encourage you, I know this is old school, but if you have a real Bible, you know, pages that you turn and print that you mark on, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19 and read with me. Verses 1 through 9. Or if you have your phone, that's many people's Bibles these days, take out your own phone and look it up, because I really believe, like, we're going to put the scripture on the screen, but we need to have it in our realm. We need to have the scripture written on our heart. And sometimes I feel it's easier when we're in the actual word, whether it's on our phone, whether it's the Bible, and let the word of God speak. Amen? So before we read it, I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you for strength for the journey. You even strengthened me from a rough night last night. And here I am to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, because you have gone before us. You have watched over my coming and going, and you have watched over each one here. They're coming, they're going, and you have promised to be with us from now and evermore. So Lord, I pray you bless this message and that it connect with hearts in the areas that your sons and daughters need it to connect with. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, verse 1. 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me ever so severely if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." So she's threatened to kill him. Verse 3, Elijah was afraid. He ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I mean, this is suicidal, folks, okay? "I have had enough, Lord." Anybody ever said that? "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around. There by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and he drank, and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by the food, and he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into the cave and spent the night. So he slept some more. So I'm going to give us three areas where Elijah got off track and where we can also, speaking to myself, you realize whoever preaches behind this pulpit is preaching to themselves first. You got that memo, right? And so these are three areas that we can all get off track, but these are three areas that Elijah got off track after a huge victory of seeing all the prophets of Baal killed and sacrifices burnt up and miracles, rain came. And what did Elijah do? Number one, Elijah's feelings got in the way. Verse 3, Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. He was afraid, ran for his life, okay? He isolated himself then, which is a very dangerous thing to do. He left a servant, that says on in Scripture, he left a servant and then he went on another day's journey. When we isolate ourselves after we have run away in fear, I'm just saying, beware, because that is a perfect atmosphere or battleground where we are vulnerable to the lies of the enemy whispering untruths in our ear. So isolation is never the answer for fear, okay? Do feelings ever push you into isolation? Yeah, I'm being honest, yes. Isolation is that perfect breeding ground for the enemy. But we need to understand the difference. Now, I'll see if you guys catch on to my terminology. The difference between feel, our feelings, and I call it feelology, and theology. You got that? Theology is just a fancy word. Ology means the study of. So theo is God, the study of God and God's word, theology. And we need to understand the difference between our feelings and how we make decisions and how we're driven when we're in a really bad place emotionally or with our feelings versus what the word of God says. Does that make sense? So I call it feelology and theology. How many times are we ruled or misguided by our feelings? Elijah was. He felt like a failure. He felt like a failure. And he had just done exploits for God, mighty victories for God. And guess what? One threat from his enemy sent him running in fear. It triggered him, basically. Feelings drove his decision. Has one word from somebody ever triggered you to be thrown down an emotional rabbit trail where you can't hear clearly anymore. And you're in that vulnerable place to hear the whispers of the enemy telling you untruths, not telling you what the word of God says. So that's why discernment is so important. Discerning the word is our truth. When we are up against the wall and need to make a decision, go to him. Go to the word. And I'm not saying feelings are bad. We're created as emotional beings, where our soul is our will, mind, and emotions. God created them. But what I'm saying is, what do we lean on and look to when the rubber meets the road? And we're running in fear and anxiety and the what if, or whatever the circumstances are. And I find it really interesting today. I love reading some of the scientific studies, and I think I've said it here before, where fear and anxiety can't coexist with thankfulness and gratefulness. And now I have even read that, like, Christian neuroscience scientists and scientists that aren't even Christian have done studies, and they have seen our actual brains rewired when we spend time in prayer. The time we spend in the Word and meditating on the Word in prayer actually rewires our brain, that frontal, I don't know all the, I'd have to defer to the doctors in the house, I don't know all the medical terms, but I know Romans 12 verse 2. What does Romans 12 verse 2 say? That, here it is, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And isn't it interesting that scientific studies now are actually proving what the Word of God has said all along? That makes me happy. That makes me excited. I love to read that stuff. So anyway, gratefulness, thankfulness, study, prayer, we can renew our minds. And let me tell you, we have to do it daily. It's not a once and done thing. It has to be daily. It has to be circumstance by circumstance. And such, just like this morning, I mean, we had an unforeseen situation last night. And this morning, first thing, I had to put on my music, singing joy over me and singing the word over me, because I had been sick last night. But I had to take control of that. And like I said, the message is always for the preacher first. And it was just like God was awakening me and preparing me for what I was going to share with you this morning, and saying, okay, Ann, you've got an opportunity here to lean into your feelings or lean into my word. Are you with me? So that's one way we can get misguided. Another way Elijah got misguided, it's in verse 4, is he measured himself against others. Verse 4, while he himself went a day's journey, he came to a broom bush, sat down, and he said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm done. Then he said, I am no better. Here's just where he's comparing himself. I am no better than my ancestors. When we start comparing, and guys, we live in an age of scrolling and comparison, and we're comparing ourselves to unreality, really, because they're just little snapshots of a person's experience. Who posts their day that they're running away in fear and anxiety? No, they post their good days. And so we're seeing unreality as we go to start scrolling for the wrong comparisons. So it, to me, comparison only leads us to despair. And that's what happened with Elijah. Amen? Third area, Elijah concentrated on the negative, which became untruths. They were actually not true, what he said. He isolated himself. He left his servant, which he should have had along with him, because his servant could have spoken truth over him or encouraged him. He left his servant, went traveling alone, and then he started concentrating on the negative. And what did he say to God when God came to him? What are you doing, Elijah? God twice came to him and said, what are you doing, Elijah? I'll let you read all the full context in 1 Kings chapter 19. And if you want to read where he came from, the victories, it's in chapter 18 before that. But Elijah, what did Elijah say to the Lord? Besides, I've had it. He said that at first. I'm done. Take my life. Then he says, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. I've done all these great exploits for you, Lord, and now I'm the only one left, and they're going to kill me next. What did the Lord do? Actually, the Lord let him vent. He listened to him, but he said, actually, Elijah, I have 7,000 other prophets that didn't bow the knee to Baal. He spoke truth over the untruth and despair Elijah had got himself into. Does that make sense? And like I said, we all do these things from time to time. God doesn't love me anymore. He didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted him to answer it. He turned everyone against me. What do? We declare the word, just like I did Psalm 121 on this hard journey we went on over the summer that the Lord strengthened us for. But the word says he loves you with an everlasting love, and that his love is never ending, and that he goes before you, behind you. He watches over your soul. He is your strength. He is your shield. He is your ever-present help in trouble. That's the truth. That's the truth. The feelings are just feelings. Yes, they're real. They matter, but they are not to dictate how we make decisions and our behavior of where we're going and what we're doing. We have to be guided by the truth. He is the way, the truth, the life. It's none of this, oh, that's your truth. God bless you. Speak your truth, girl. Speak your truth. It's not that. This is the truth. The truth that sets us free. Saoirse. Amen. So what was God's answer in these things? So I know I don't have slides up for the 3 points. So the 3 points were Elijah's feelings got in the way. That was the first one. The second one is he measured himself. He compared himself against others. And the third one was the negativity piece, that he couldn't see clearly. Everything was negative. So God's answer, I love the first one, because it's so practical. Elijah, God actually sent him a divine intervention. I would love to wake up in the morning and have my breakfast made for me by the table and everything laid out. But the angel came and simply said, eat, drink. There was a container of water for him. We got to hydrate ourselves. We got to eat nourishing food. And we have to sleep. Sometimes the most holy thing you can do is take a nap. Hallelujah. Our pastor is the holiest. But sometimes that's the holiest thing we can do. We need nourishment, we need hydration, and we need rest. And that was God's answer for Elijah. And the second thing was God allowed Elijah to vent. He was able to release his feelings. You know, since we've been back, those of you who know me know I have a little nook in my house, and that's where I spend my time with the Lord, and we have conversations. And one of the words the Lord has given me over probably the last month is release. And he said, Anne, you've got to release it all to me, and then I will release it to you. It's like, and I've said this for years to people, how are you going to receive what God has for you if you're gripping it? And here God's saying, Anne, you got to release, and I will give it to you. And so the Lord provides a space for us to be honest. Honest with those feelings that Elijah had, and give them to the right person. We so often pick up our phone and start calling or texting, or we get in this cycle of venting this stuff to people who are not going to speak the word of God over our lives, who are not going to pray for you. They're just going to pat you on the back and say, oh, you poor thing, you deserve better. That's not helping anybody. We have to tell the right person, bring our complaints, bring our feelings, bring it all to the Lord, because he's big enough to handle it all. Elijah, he was suicidal. He said, God, take my life now. That was the right person to vent to give it to God, to give it to God. So rest, eat, drink. Number two, release it all to God. And then what did God do when he released it? Again, because Elijah says, I'm the only one left. And God's saying, bless your heart. No, there's actually 7,000 more prophets that haven't bowed their knee. And he brings truth to it. And the third thing, the Lord invites him into his presence. He said, go stand. I have to read it because I'll get it wrong. Verse 11, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then what happened? There was a wind, there was an earthquake, there was a fire, and the Lord said, I'm not in the wind, I'm not in the earthquake, I'm not in the fire, but in the still, small voice. And how many of us, we don't wait long enough for the wind to pass, or the earthquake to finish, or the fires, you know, all the things that are swirling around us that rile up our emotions and our fears and our anxieties. But God says, no, I'm in the gentle whisper. Come into my presence. Come into my presence. Come into my presence, and you will be whole. You will be whole. You will find peace. You will find peace. We pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Those of you who pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit every single day. Use those tongues the Lord has given you. Pray in the Spirit. Read the Word of God. Declare it. Psalm 121, I don't know if Barry ever got tired of hearing it, but every day in the car, I'm declaring it, because that was our truth. That was not just our truth. That was the truth, the Word of God. And so, in closing, I would like us to do that. We're going to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And if you're able, why don't you stand to your feet? And I'm going to read these verses, and I would like you to repeat after me. Because we are saying no to fear and anxiety, and yes to the word of the Lord for our lives. And we're going to see our brains being renewed, our minds being renewed, our brains being rewired because of the truth of God's word. Are you with me? You want to do that with me? So repeat after me. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. And Lord, right now, that's what we're releasing to you. We are going to think on the things above. We're going to think on the Word of God. We are going to take all thoughts captive under the obedience of Jesus, like it says in 1 Corinthians, Lord God. And we are going to think on the true, on the pure, on the holy, on the good news, Lord Jesus. And then repeat after me, whatever you have learned or received or heard, from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. So, Lord, we thank you that you are our God of peace, that you hold holy shalom to be released over all of us, Lord God. Forgive us when we get stuck in our feelings, Lord Jesus, or we start comparing ourselves, Lord God, or we get into negativity and get caught up in whatever negative is going on at the moment, forgive us, Lord, I pray. And we want to set our minds, renew our minds, not be conformed to the pattern of this world. That's what this world does. But you have saved us, Lord. You have redeemed us. You have called us by name. Your word says, fear not. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. And Lord, we declare and receive that in Jesus' name and ask for that holy, holy, holy peace to lead, guide, and direct each and every step. And when the next battle comes, Lord, we'll be positioned to hear from you, not pick up our phones and cry out, woe is me, but come to the foot of the cross and ask you, Lord, to help. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.